Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who does his own stunts, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back. We are now officially live, so if you are just joining us from the Republican National Convention coverage here at Civic Media, welcome to hour number two on this Tuesday night edition. We are broadcasting statewide from downtown Green Bay. Great to have you with me. Our question tonight, just to reiterate, what is your favorite Tom Hanks movie? Tom Hanks' birthday was just a couple days ago. I said Nothing in Common. We're hearing a lot of Big, but what is your favorite Tom Hanks movie? Sherry's text. Sherry says Big, and she says great voice in relation to 7,000 Apart, who we just heard, a very fun up-and-coming band. Terry Bell joins me at 8:35 with an update from Milwaukee. And right now, I'm very excited to welcome to Nightlight the host of American Ninja Warrior and a very funny comedian and my old pal, Matt Eisman. Matt, welcome to Nightlight.
Hey, Chwaba, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you, man?
Man, it's been way too long.
I know. I don't know. All right. It's nice that I see you on the stream, Matt. I don't know how you did this, but somehow you are more handsome and even more buff than you were years ago when we worked together.
Living the good, clean life here in California, buddy. That's it.
You know, I didn't want to tell you this, but at the Sports Soup Rap Party, Genzer lost his underwear somewhere. It's in your house. I don't know if they've ever turned up, but give them a call if they do turn up.
What a beautiful run we had with that show, but well before its time.
Yeah, we'll get to that, but how are you, man? You're busy, you're working all the time. It's so great. And how you been? What's new?
Well, yeah, man, Ninja Warrior is going. We're on season 16. We just got picked up for season 17. I'm not sure if that's public knowledge, but now it is.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, I'm getting married September 1st, which is really exciting. I know at long last.
Congrats.
53 and finally taking the plunge for the first time. So I'm excited about that.
About time.
And leave next week to cover the Olympics for Peacock. So that's going to be a ton of fun.
Boy, oh boy, what a great, you're having a great year. That's fantastic.
It's spectacular. Yeah, I know.
You're 17.
As long as I survive the wedding.
Yeah, well, I think you'll be okay. I think you're pretty sure at this point in your life. And 17 seasons, that's pretty good. Time to give up the paper out and focus solely on your dream. That's very cool.
It's nuts. It is. It's crazy to think. I mean, I was just talking to my mom today. And we were, you know, she watches every episode and she was just saying, I remember when you started on that show and we didn't even think it would last the summer. And here it is, season 17. I was like, you know what, Mom? You're right. It is crazy. So nice to have a reminder that we got lucky with the little engine that could that is Ninja Warrior.
Your mom is your second biggest fan after Pete Chwaba. So be sure to remind her of that. I want her
them
to know
fighting
that.
Words, Chwaba.
She can take me. hey, so tell us, all right, this is cool. I saw this recently. One of the reporters in the Capital Times here in Madison did a story about the Twinges, and they're competing on Monday in the semifinals. Two twins from Madison, the Green brothers, Nathan and Marquez, 25 years old. I think this is so cool. Now, I'm sure you've seen other stories like this or interesting contestants, but tell us a little bit about the Green brothers.
Yeah, they're just an incredible story. These two young men who both went to University of Wisconsin, great kids. But when they were in high school, their mom was diagnosed with cancer and passed away in a few short years. And, you know, I think a lot of people when faced with, you know, a loss like that, a lot of people will crumble. And these two have just found the strength. They competed shortly after her passing for the first time. And it was just one of these things where, you know, the mom had always said like, oh God, you know, go chase your dreams. And these guys have been doing it. And Nathan's been getting the short end. Because the twins, imagine it, they're competitive with each other. So it's not just that they're running to prove a point to their mom. It's they're also running to beat one another. It's very Cain versus Abel. But the ledger looks to get evened out a little bit, but it's, okay. It's really nice. It's an amazing way that they, you know, keep her memory alive and represent University of Wisconsin. And what's amazing, Pete, is they've been taken under the wings of the Iowa Ninja. And it is, we're seeing like the hotbeds of Ninja Warrior. Originally it was Miami and Denver and San Francisco. And Now Orlando's huge and Iowa has become big. Thanks to the Barons, they have a gym there, and Marquez and Nathan have been training with Cat Daddy Jackson Twain. So I hope your listeners are big fans of Ninja Warrior, because these are some deep cuts I'm pulling out right now.
That's so cool. How well do you have to get to know? I mean, I'm sure you got to do your homework and everything as a host, but how much do you know about all these guys? I mean, you just rattle off stuff about the Green Brothers. So I assume you do your homework seriously.
Yeah, it's funny, because what ends up happening is we follow all of them on social media, and you know, we're all kind of connected, and it becomes this community. And so, you know, that when we shoot, it's actually a very short time we're around the ninjas. But you kind of form a connection there that then you keep up through social media. So I'm following all these athletes, and they're tagging me in their videos, and in the off season, there are multiple leagues that go on. So they're traveling all over the country, seeing each other, staying connected. And so I feel like, you know, I'm there. I'm just not working out with them. I'm there in spirit. And it's really, you know, it's really gratifying to see what this show has become. That when it started, there was a guy, David Campbell, who'd built some obstacles in his backyard in Santa Cruz, California. And now, you know, virtually everywhere in America, there's a ninja gym nearby, and that people are, you know, kids are now growing up, not as football players or soccer players, but as ninja warriors. And so it's really been cool to kind of see this thing grow from a TV show into a sport. And it's fun kind of, you know, year round being able to keep up on it, and go with my niece to Ninja Nation in Denver, Colorado, where, you know, she's training with some of the ninjas from the show. And she's like, "Unky, you're not that big a star." And I'm like, "You know what, Claire? Here I am. All right, let me have my moment."
Yeah, I got you the discount to get in here. So just keep your big mouth shut. You know.
Yeah, right? Come on.
Here's what I think is really interesting. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Matt.
Oh, yeah. No, man. I'll just keep rambling. Go ahead. Directly.
Well, you're here to ramble. So by all means, it's your dance floor. But I do want to say what I find interesting about the show is that it used to be, or when I first started watching Ninja Warrior, it was like, this guy was a track athlete. This guy was a basketball player. Now they train to be ninja warriors. It's like doing the Stairmaster to be better at the Stairmaster. It's so specific. I don't get it. Like, happen?
It was the same thing that happened with Ultimate Fighting. Yeah. Where, you know, the first UFC was in Denver, and it literally was a boxer and Butterbean, you know, and a sumo wrestler, and these people who came from their discipline. And then, you know, in the next generation, you saw people who would, all right, I've done wrestling, now I'm going to learn striking. And then eventually what happened was there was a generation of fighters who'd grown up doing BJJ and grappling and submission and striking and, you know, doing the whole package. They were mixed martial artists. And it's the same thing we saw with Ninja Warrior, where, you know, as we got into the last few seasons, particularly when we lowered the age, these were kids who grew up watching Ninja Warrior. These were kids who grew up competing on Ninja Junior. These were kids who grew up with gyms. And so it was interesting seeing these kids come in, and Schwabba, that's what's ridiculous, is I will watch these kids in the off season training. They're Lashang holding like a little Charlie Chaplin cane and slipping it through a ring that's slightly bigger than the diameter of the cane. Like, it is these precision stunt work, and they have the agility and strength where, you know, they weigh 140 pounds. They don't have anything but muscle, and all they're doing is algebra homework. And they remind me how old I am. But it's so incredible, because the people who are the best aren't necessarily the ones with the most gifted athletic ability. It's the ones who really put the time in, the ones who put the reps in. And, you know, I'm sure it's the same thing, you know, you hear in the NFL, where those receivers who learn how to run the routes, who put in the footwork, they may not be the fastest, but they're the ones who can create separation and can have a career like that. And Ninja Warrior is absolutely a sport where athleticism isn't enough. You have to have trained the obstacles. You have to have some of these basic kind of obstacle movements that are just become second nature in your body.
That's insane. Wow. What about hot yoga? Is that a good background for a...
I just came from a Pilates class.
Oh, nice.
No, you know what's funny? It's like, you know, I grew up and I played baseball.
Yeah.
And our workout was still lifting weights. And, you know, you understand that you wanted the power, but it would shorten and tighten your muscles. It was so bad. And now you look at these different training methods. And I think what's interesting with Ninja Warrior is, you know, we really see these athletes from a lot of different backgrounds and ones who still will train in different ways. Some are body weight, some are resistance bands, you know, some are plyometrics, some are CrossFit. But it's really interesting just kind of seeing that there really isn't, you know, one path to success. And it depends on kind of what are your athletic skills. So it's fascinating to me to watch people take different approaches and kind of figure out what suits their body type and their kind of mental approach to the course.
And what's interesting about it, Matt, is you don't necessarily cheer when you're watching the show for the best athlete. It's who has the best story. You know, it really is like about character development somehow that you pick the person you're cheering for. That's so great.
It's Rocky, right? It's fundamentally the American story is we love the underdog, right? Like the Miracle on Ice, the scrappy U.S. college kids taking on the Soviet machine. There's something that's kind of, I think America loves with that. And that's, you know, that's one of the things, like you watch the NFL or Major League Baseball, you know, you care about the team, but these players, they win or lose, make $100 million. I think Ninja's closer to the Olympic model where it's like, hey, you've worked so long for this opportunity and the opportunity is it, you know, you might win $1 million, but more than likely you're out here and it's just a chance to show what you can do. And so that's why I think with Ninja Warrior, you see people who don't hit a buzzer, but who still have bigger wins than you could imagine in life. For someone who's battling stage 4 cancer and they find a way to have the strength to just stand at the start line, you're like, that's a pretty big win.
Boy, you have this in your blood, man. You are a great ambassador for that show, Matt. The passion, I'm serious, the passion. Well, I hope you talked about Sports Hoop half as passionately as you do about American.
You know what's funny? And that was the same thing. Here's the thing people don't understand is our best jokes would very often be kiboshed because we had to kowtow to the sports. They were the 800-pound gorillas. But we sure had, we had a ton of fun with that. And I think the reason I love Ninja Warrior is like, you know, I played sports and I was okay. But you remember, you know, you always kind of dream of it as a kid. Like it's the, you know, bottom of the ninth in the World Series, the 7th game, and it's a 3-2 count, and here comes the pitch. You build these scenarios to have a moment. And I love on Ninja Warrior that very often we get to see people have a moment in their lives where, you know, you could see the fear at the start line or you could see the fear at the start of their journey to get them there. And you just see a moment where someone does something that they didn't know they could do. And you just see like a light switch flip. And what's cool is by, you know, being 16 seasons in, we've seen people who've taken the discipline and success they've had on the show and on the course, and it's translated into their lives. And so,
Matt, hold that thought for one second. All right, buddy. We'll be right back with more Matt Eisman on Nightlight with Beach Bum. Welcome back. That song was for Journey fan Matt Eisman, who is the host of American Ninja Warrior, former host of Sports Soup, and a very funny comedian, and he's with us right now on Nightlight for a few more minutes. Matt, I have to ask you. So we started talking about Sports Soup. Do you have good memories of that? I always say to people, being in a room with 5 other people writing jokes about sports and cracking each other up all day, and then you'd come in, we'd do the host meetings, and how much fun was that?
It was unbelievable. And what was so cool was we'd get guys like Matt Kemp or Jared Allen. You know, we got to interview Shaquille O'Neal and Mike Tyson and Kobe Bryant.
And Pacquiao. That was fun.
Yeah, Pacquiao was great. Yeah. It was just unbelievable. We all felt like kids in a candy store. And it was just one of those things, though, where you realize, like, the thing we were saying was, you know, we had to keep the kid gloves on.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, Comcast, our owners, you know, they knew that the sports were the real treasure. Sports Hoop was like, if you upset these sports, we're going to make you disappear, Sports Hoop. But boy, did we have fun doing it. And I wish, you know, it's kind of, I think Barstool tricked onto it. So we'd like to say we're the Dave Portnoy kind of owes us a tip of the cap.
I'll take some of that Portnoy money.
Oh my God.
Are you surprised it didn't last longer than 2 years? Or are you surprised it lasted 2 years?
I think it was a little of both because it felt like it was at such a time, you know, just as the internet was growing and this kind of that kind of ability to say what everyone was thinking was happening. But ultimately, because we were on a network and not just like on a YouTube channel, you know, I just saw this constant struggle of, hey, we got to kill that joke. You can't make a left turn joke about NASCAR. We're like, okay, seriously, they don't have a sense of humor about it. What do? You turn left.
And they probably would have, but they didn't want to take that chance. Like, I think
so funny that it was the smaller sports. I remember I went to the rodeo finals and I said something about, listen, these guys got to be a little crazy to ride a 2-ton bull with spurs on its nuts. And they were like, we never mentioned the spurs. I'm like, but we can see them. We can. And they were like, they were like, listen, we're not even sure Sports Soup's going to air this week. I was like, oh my gosh. It's rodeo. Can't they take a joke?
It's like you're telling the secrets of magic or something. That's
funny. I mean, it really was. I felt, you know, it felt like when John David Stutz shot buckwheat, like the world stopped. You know, and there was a part of me that thought, like, are they messing with me? Because I remember, funny. Like, they got to, you know, because I was clearly, the tone was more like, oh my God, it's so amazing seeing this. I was trying to be respectful. I just crossed the line because I didn't know.
Trying to be funny. That's
yeah.
Comedy.
I mean, that's like, you got to take a swing for a joke. I remember Jewel was there too, and she was just like giving me that disappointed look.
Oh wow, really? Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, no, she was dating Ty or married to Ty.
Oh, okay. So Matt, you were, before you became a comedian, you were a doctor.
Yeah.
I can count on one finger the people I know that have done that. And you're it,
buddy. Ken Jeong and me. It's
what were you thinking?
So I don't know, Pete. You know, I mean, I was like, here's the thing. Like, medicine was a perfect career for me on paper. I loved science. I loved helping people. I thought that was the fit. But it was, you know, when I got into it, I realized my heart wasn't in it. And I realized I was afraid I was going to make a mistake. Oh, that, man. Someone was going to die because I wasn't as committed a doctor I should be. And I'm like, I gotta figure this out. And I thought, I need to clear my head. I gotta do something unlike anything I'd ever done. And I'd always been like sports and school. That's kind of what I did. So I was like, I'm going to try something creative. And so I thought, I'll move out to LA and do stand up and, you know, whatever, figure it out. And I was doing open mics. And if people don't know what an open mic is, particularly in LA, it just imagine someone punching you in the testicles repeatedly as you try to tell funny jokes, where it's a soul crushing experience. And yet I was so happy being there and trying to make people laugh, where I was like, I think this is what I'm meant to do. And I got lucky, I fell into commercials. So I started making money pretty quickly, where I was like, I am making so much more than I was as a doctor in training. Wow. And nobody dies. I get to tell jokes. And it was,
you can
so
kill.
It really was just kind of, I got some very fortunate early breaks, and then one thing led to another. And, you know, now it's almost 25 years I've been out here.
That's so great. Was there a moment, Matt, when you, like when the switch went on, where you said, all right, I can do this. I'm confident I can make it as a comedian. What was that moment for you, if it exists?
Well, it was more as a host than a comedian, because I still play to open empty rooms sometimes on the road, which is always a huge ego check.
Oh yeah.
No, I think it was, I don't know. We got to host the 4th of July for like the Macy's 4th of July thing. And it was live, and that went well. And then I got to do Evil Live, where Travis Pastrana recreated Evel Knievel's Three Biggest Jumps live one night in Vegas. It was a 3-hour show, and we hosted it, and it was live. And it was live for 3 hours, and it was like chaos. Like, I mean, I had to, you know, it was chaos.
Wow.
And at one point I was like, I can't hear anything. They literally threw it to me one time when I had my hand in the porta potty pissing. And I was like, this is 2 hours in. I'm like, guys, I got to take a pee break. They're like, good, you're fine. Then all of a sudden, like, Matt, what do you think? I had to come running out grabbing a mic. Well, it's a fluid situation down here.
Yeah.
But I think once that one landed it and like it came off, I was like, oh, you know what? I can do this. And I don't know. I mean, there's still a point where you know, this is kind of the mentality I think that we all have in this business, is there's always a part of you that thinks this job could be my last job ever. Like after this, no one will hire me. Where you just think, like, you just never know when it's going to stop. But you kind of console yourself by saying, hey, you know, I've landed on my feet before. And I think there's just enough of, I'll figure something out. I'll figure something out. Where you kind of have to just tell yourself, you know, it is at a certain point kind of a leap of faith. And I've been lucky having Ninja Warrior as kind of like the backbone for, you know, now 17 seasons. So that's been amazing. And it's, you know, it's really fun, I think, now hosting for me, where I feel like, you know, I'm doing the Olympics and it'll be my third Olympics. I fill in on Patrol, the live PD show, where, you know, we're live following departments around the country. And it's like, okay, I feel like I'm pretty good. Like, I feel like you throw me into a situation, like, I understand what's going on. And it's really fun, I think. It's really fun, like, with the Olympics, where we're going to be doing the Gold Zone channel. So, like, you know, the Red Zone channel on Sunday, where it's just, hey, nonstop action. And, you know, there are 396 medal events. They're going to be up to 40 events at a time. So it'll be fun being like, all right, Simone Biles on vault. Now let's go to the pool. It's Ledecky. And, you know, just jumping around. And it's been, you know, I got hundreds of pages of Olympic homework around me that I'm just learning about. Breakdancing is a sport. It's breaking is the official MP. Can you believe it? Breaking is in the Olympics.
I can still pop it and lock it.
And it's cruise. It's still called throwdowns. It's popping and locking.
Oh, my gosh.
It's unbelievable.
Wow.
I'm so excited for it. And, like, America has the favorite, B-Boy Victor, who, you know, can he answer the bell, though?
Dude, you know your
stuff.
I don't
know. We're all excited.
Man, keep up the great work. You're the best, man. Thanks so much for your time. And,
well, well, what a pleasure.
Yeah. Be good to those twinges. They're Wisconsin boys.
All right. I said I'll keep the nightlight on.
Oh, please do. All right. We'll do it again, I hope. All right. Thanks, Matt.
All right, Trevor. Bye, buddy.
That's Matt Eisman, the host of American Ninja Warrior, former host of Sports Soup. Very funny comedian, and fun to catch up with Matt. In just a couple minutes, Terry Bell will be here with an update from the RNC in Milwaukee. And I got to ask Terry about a movie, too. That's coming up next. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. You know me, right? Bridget in the 818 says, I love Big. Tom Hanks was amazing, played the character so well. I agree, Bridget, and I think Big is the movie of choice tonight for Tom Hanks fans. The question tonight is, what is your favorite Tom Hanks movie honor of his recent birthday? Go ahead, Conrad.
I forgot to put my opinion out there, and it is Catch Me If Can.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah, Catch Me If You Can, right? Yeah, not I Can.
I thought you already said your Tom Hanks movie, but that's fine. You can have two.
Well, you told me to watch Big.
I did tell you to watch Big. Okay. Well, yes. Now you'll see why most people are picking Big. But not too late to get in on the fun. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know your favorite Tom Hanks movie. That was a fun talk with Matt Eisman. We are going to move right along here at Nightlight. And now it is my pleasure to welcome good friend of mine. He is also the Civic Media News Director and doing a bang-up job in Milwaukee covering the RNC, and he's here with an update now, and his name is Terry Bell. Hey, Terry.
Pete, how are you?
Good. Are you exhausted?
You know, it's a test of stamina, for sure. It's an endurance test. My alarm goes off at about 5 in the morning, I think last night I lights out at about 11 o'clock at night.
Okay.
But I knew what I was signing up for. I'm fine.
It's kind of fun, right? It's a little bit hectic, I assume, but your adrenaline keeps you going, maybe?
It certainly does. You know, I mean, I knew from the time I was maybe in high school that this is what I wanted to do with my life. And, you know, you don't get an opportunity to do this because a lot of local stations, and I've worked in, you know, small to medium market media most of my life, you know, they just don't send people to political conventions in places like Miami or San Diego. You know, since both the conventions are just an easy drive from Madison, from where I live, Civic Media has decided to go all in and, you know, send teams to both conventions. And it's the opportunity of a lifetime. I had a sense that this was coming when I was offered the job in 2022. And that's one of the reasons I jumped on it.
That's so great. What are your overall thoughts? How do you think the convention is going so far before I get into a couple specifics?
I think the convention, I think the organizers would tell you it's a huge success. And I would say that it seems to be extremely well run. There haven't been any hiccups except for an incident today that we're going to be hearing more about. I'm sure in the days to come, a police officer used lethal force in a situation where two men were engaged in a knife fight, it seems.
Oh, wow.
The choice to use lethal force is proving to be more controversial than one might assume at first blush. But I hesitate to say more before more information comes out.
Okay, fair enough. Do Republicans seem happy with the choice of J.D. Vance? Have you gotten any feedback there, Terry?
They seem elated.
Really?
You know, I've listened to dozens of interviews from surrogates. And, of course, you know, everybody's going to put, you know, a happy face on any choice at this point. But to a person, it seems that the enthusiasm for J.D. Vance is extremely genuine.
Which speaker so far would you say has gotten the best response, if there is one?
Oh, boy, that's a good question. I don't know if I could say who got the best reaction. I did listen to Eric Hovde tonight. He gave a primetime address, the candidate from Wisconsin. It seems that, you know, they're going to put someone from Wisconsin up on that stage every night. Since Wisconsin is so important and they want to keep the Wisconsin delegation happy. Monday night, it was Ron Johnson who gave a speech, the sitting U.S. Senator, and he gave a speech. There was a bit of controversy after that. He gave a very red meat speech when supposedly the original plan was to be more of a call to unity kind of speech. And there's some controversy, some question whether or not that the speech was switched on him on the last minute or whether he made that choice. He says it was not his choice, but, you know, you can decide that for yourself.
I mean, are mistakes made like that at that high a level with the
it
world
watching?
It seems
rather unlikely.
Yeah.
That's what he says, but it does kind of, you know, strain credulity.
Aside from that speech, in lieu of what President Biden said about toning down the rhetoric, and he took ownership for saying his bullseye line, do you feel like there is a more not gentle but civil discourse coming out of the Republican convention, or where do you think that is?
I think we're going to see things going back to maybe where they might have had it not been for the assassination of attempts on the president. You're not hearing a lot of calls for unity. You're hearing more speeches that are aimed at the base and not necessarily swing voters or undecided voters. There's talk that President Trump maybe has decided to change the tone of his Thursday night acceptance speech. We'll see about that. But it seemed like the assassination attempt on Saturday had the biggest effect on Monday morning. Monday morning was when people seemed, concerned, cautious, subdued. But as the afternoon wore on, I think people got a little relaxed, let their guard down. I jokingly say that what downtown Milwaukee feels like is that someone declared that martial law was declared, and then they threw up a street festival. There's barricades and fences and shut down streets everywhere and live bands and then food stands.
It's just another weekend of Summerfest. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very fun. I it's so funny how things kick up again too. It seemed like people were condemning everything after the assassination attempt. And then today on Facebook, I saw two posts from people say, this is not a doctor's bandage on former President Trump's ear. It looked like it was just for show. Like, you can't win. Like, I don't know what's right and what's wrong. That's why I tune into Civic Media News all the time. I know you guys are going to shoot me straight, and the coverage has been fantastic. So
I appreciate that. Thanks, Pete.
Yeah, my guest
We've been working very hard.
And it shows, buddy, for sure. My guest is Terry Bell. He's the news director here at Civic Media. Catherine chimes in on the text line and says, Terry Bell equals news rock star. And I could not agree more. you talked about Milwaukee. How do you think the city is handling everything so far? And are those businesses, I heard you talking a little bit about this on the news, are they seeing more business or is that not coming to fruition?
Well, I anticipate that today the business started to pick up. So here's the deal. Of course, you know, when something like this comes, cities want to bring these events because they will be good for restaurants and bars and other kind of entertainment venues. And we've been hearing as far back as a couple of weeks ago, some theaters saying, you know what, you know, we're not getting the bookings. And kind of the big one that happened was the Daily Show was supposed to broadcast from Milwaukee, and that those plans got changed. And it turns out that it seems to be, from what I read, that it was the venue, the Marcus Performing Arts Center, that maybe have been the folks that made the decision to pull the plug on this after the assassination attempt. But even before that, venues are saying, gosh, you know, we were told that there would be gatherings and meetings and such at our venues and really had those bookings. And then on Monday, there were reports of restaurants and other establishments saying, gosh, you know, pretty slow today. We were told it would be slammed. The delegates were kept on a pretty tight leash on Monday. There was a schedule to keep. There was business to be done. I was at the breakfast for delegates Monday morning, and the instructions from the podium were very clear. We have a schedule to keep. Be here at this time. Be there at that time, and because we're keeping this thing moving. So I think that's what kept a lot of delegates away from the establishments and the shops on Monday. Tuesday, I don't have a great sense. I trust I will find out as I sift through the information. Mike Holmgren, who used to coach the Packers, used to like to say that, you know, the sidelines at the game are the worst seats in the house. a play would get over and he'd have to call the assistant coach up in the press box and say, what just happened? And that's kind of what this is like. It's you just cannot get the whole perspective, the whole picture from whatever spot you happen to be at the moment. It takes a team, which is why we have a team here in Milwaukee. And of course, you know, being very plugged into social media.
So you've got your ear to the ground, but it's not always the perfect sight lines, I guess.
Good point.
So what's ahead, Terry? What do you anticipate in the next couple of days? Obviously, Trump will speak on Thursday. Any other things you're looking forward to or points of interest that we might look out for in the next couple of days?
Tomorrow night should be interesting. That'll be J.D. Vance's speech to the convention. And I think there's a lot of curiosity about him.
Yeah.
He's an interesting guy because he first made a name for himself by being a never Trumper, by being one of Donald Trump's harshest critics. And he wrote a book, in fact, his memoir, Hillbilly Elegy, was sort of a meditation on those kinds of feelings about divided America and broken families and where the country went wrong in his estimation and the conservative movement's responsibility for that in his estimation. He's gone through quite an evolution since that book was released, and now here he is, Donald Trump's vice presidential running mate.
That's the way to his heart, apparently, is to criticize and then attach your wagon. That's blowing up, too, by the way, on, I think it's Netflix, right? But, it's all
Yeah, there was a movie based on the book. You're right. It got adapted. Yeah.
All right, so I know you're exhausted. I'll just let you go, but I just want to tell you, have you seen Maxine yet?
I have not. Okay. I was too busy over the it was released on the 5th, and I had family obligations on the 4th weekend. I'm too busy this week, but that's something I hope to do this weekend. I am really excited for Maxine.
I can't wait to hear your thoughts on it because I watched X because of you. I enjoyed it. I did not see Pearl, and I've heard from a lot of people it's not as good as X, but worth watching. Your thoughts?
Pearl?
Yeah.
Oh, I preferred Pearl.
Oh, no kidding. Okay.
Not that X isn't great. I loved X, but Pearl, it was just like nothing I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, if The Wizard of Oz was a horror movie, you'd get X.
It was when I saw it. I was scared to death of The Wizard of Oz.
well, so,
so I'll really freak out at this. All these films in the trilogy seem to say, at least the two I've seen, save their most shocking gore for the very end. And I did not see it coming in Maxine, but it showed up. So, yeah, we'll have to have a discussion after you see that. Do you have a favorite Tom Hanks movie? That's our question tonight.
Yeah, I, you know, it might be a tie between Saving Private Ryan and Philadelphia.
Interesting. Neither one of those have popped up in the text thread or on the stream tonight.
Oh.
So that's great. I'm glad you said those.
His performance in Philadelphia was just amazing.
He's outstanding. He's you know, he's really coming into his own.
Oh yeah, he's one of the great actors of our time.
For sure.
No question.
Terry, get some rest, and I know you'll be back there bright and early tomorrow and keep us informed like you do so well. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Pete.
You got it. All right, that's Terry Bell, Civic Media News Director. Boy, we had only an hour tonight, more or less, Conrad, of live radio, but I think we packed in two pretty good guests. Thoughts?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Coming up next, folks, my interview with Conrad Krieger. He's on the other side of the glass, and yep, he's very accessible.
Every single night.
Here every single night. So I think what we'll do, we'll close it down with a couple of Tom Hanks clips from the movie probably that got the most votes tonight. I still say Nothing in Common. If you haven't seen it, find it. It's from 1988, one of his first films that he played opposite Jackie Gleason and Bess Armstrong. Really, just kind of a sweet film and very real. Nothing big. It was not made with the intention of contending for an Oscar. It was just a nice story. I wish they made more films like that today. It seems like it's all superhero or a biopic. There's just, where are the sweet stories, Conrad? That's what I'm asking.
I don't know.
All right, get back to me. coming up next, some Tom Hanks fun here on Nightlight. And if you want to get in on the question tonight, you still have time. What is your favorite Tom Hanks movie? It was Tom's birthday just a few days ago. What is your favorite Tom Hanks film? Let us know. We'll read it on the radio. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Let my eyes caress you until I meet the thought of Mrs. Princess, who often wonder what makes her work. I guess I'll leave that question to the experts, assuming that there are some out there. Who's excited about Twisters opening this weekend? I'm excited. I got to be honest. I didn't love the first Twister, but I'm excited about this one. I think the CGI is so much farther along than it was 25 years ago. I like these actors. I'm going to go into this with a really positive attitude. I have to be honest, and I know I'm in the minority. I did not love the first Twister. They had these kind of really cheesy moments where they're talking about Bill Paxton and he's always been able to sense a tornado. And there's this like shot of him looking into the distance. I mean, it was just, I thought it was kind of silly, but I will admit I'm excited. I'm excited about Twister. Have you heard of Long Legs, Conrad?
No. What's that?
Horror film, serial killer, Nicolas Cage.
I don't know.
And,
I can't see him playing any.
No, he played. It's like an FBI procedural. But this is interesting. Like, I always notice, like, whenever you're watching a movie and the lights flicker, it's always a sign that there's a ghost. But okay. whenever you actually see a ghost in a room, no one says, "We need new light bulbs." Have you noticed? Just me? Am I on an island there?
I don't know. Oh,
whatever. All right. Hey, we're going to roll out a new feature on Nightlight. And we're going to start it Monday. We'll be doing the show from Madison next week. And 7:35 every Monday, we need a title. And I'm putting this out to you, the listener. We're going to have a stand-up comic on every Monday at 7:35. Monday Night Comedy Corner. Throw your suggestions out, folks. We're putting it out to you, our loyal Nightlight listeners, for this little benchmark we are going to add to our show. And I'm very excited because we will be kicking it off with Pat McGann, a very funny Chicago comic who's got his own Netflix special. He is a fast rising comic in the comedy and the world of show business, and he's great. So he'll be on Monday from Madison at 7:35. But we need a name for the segment. that we will do every Monday, just adding a little more fun to Nightlight that you can be part of every night. And I think we need to wrap the show up tonight, Conrad, with, you know, Tom Hanks. He's the man tonight, right?
He is, yes.
So we've got clips from Forrest Gump, correct?
Two clips from Forrest Gump,
Two clips from Forrest Gump. So let's do, you know what? Let's do one Forrest Gump and one Catch Me If You Can. And let's start with the Gumpster, and then we'll do Catch Me If You Can. Because I actually like Catch Me If You Can better than Forrest Gump. But you roll that Forrest Gump clip.
Well, thought I'd try out my sea legs.
Well, you ain't got no legs, Lieutenant Dane.
Yes, I know that. You wrote me a letter, you idiot. Well, well, Captain Forrest Gump, I had to see this for myself. And I told you if you were ever a shrimp boat captain, that I'd be your first mate. Well, here I am. I am a man of my word.
Okay.
Yeah, but don't you be thinking that I'm gonna be calling you sir.
No, sir. It's my boat.
That, of course, is when Tom Hanks first sees Lieutenant Dan for the first time in a long time and jumps off a boat.
And crashes it.
And crashes it and swims. It's a very sweet moment, very funny moment. Here is a clip from a movie I'm guilty of this. I was about to call it a forgotten Tom Hanks film. It's not the first one that comes to mind, but it was Oscar nominated. And I want to say Leonardo DiCaprio, was he nominated for this? I think he was just nominated, but here is a clip. And this is where they catch Leo's character, Frank, from Catch Me If You Can.
Hands on your head.
You know that's the new IBM Select trick.
Put your hands on your head.
Change the print type in 5 seconds.
Shut up.
Pop out the ball.
Put your hands on your head. Put your hands.
You know, he's got over 200 checks here.
Hands on your head.
Drafting. He even has little payroll envelopes addressed to himself.
Put it down. Drop it.
Relax. You're late, all right? My name's Allen, Barry Allen, United States Secret Service. Your boy just tried to jump out the window. My partner has him in custody.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You think the FBI are the only ones on this guy? I mean, come on. Come on, he's dabbling in government checks here. I've been following a paper trail on this guy for months now. Hey, you mind taking that gun out of my face? Please, really. I mean, it makes me nervous.
You see some credentials.
Yeah, sure. Take my whole wallet. You want my gun, too? Come over here, take my gun. Hey, look, just do me a favor. Take a look outside. Look out the window. My partner's walking him to the car as we speak. Look. Old guy almost pissed in his pants when I came through the door. He jumped right through the window onto the hood of my car. Hey, Murph.
Yeah, call the LAPD again. I don't want people walking through my crime scene.
I didn't expect the Secret Service on this.
Don't worry about it. Well, what's your name?
Hanratty. Kyle Hanratty.
Mind if I see some identification? I never can be too careful these days. Well, tough luck, Carl. 5 minutes earlier, you would have landed yourself a pretty good collar.
It's all right. 10 seconds later, and you'd have been shot. Mind if I come downstairs with you? I got to take a look at this guy. Sure thing.
I love that. I don't know that we... Did you think I was telling you to fade out?
Yeah.
I was not. I just wanted you to read your messages. I love that scene. I don't know that Tom Hanks needs to use a Boston accent, though. I get it. Anyway, we haven't really discussed the national anthem last night.
Oh, God.
Did you love it?
It was terrible.
I sent that to you at like midnight last night. I'm like, I wrote a beat about it, but I think we got to close the show with that. It's beautiful in its simplicity and its lack of... What I think is funny, she says, I'm going to rehab. It's like, all right, you say you're drunk. If you say you're going to rehab, that means you're drunk all the time. Like, I would have just said, look, I had too much to drink. I was having a great time. I am so sorry. I'll sing it next time. But the rehab thing seems like a Hollywood knee-jerk. Oh, don't worry. I'm going to take care of this. And she's like, rehab sounds super fun. Like, I kind of expected that from someone who sang the national anthem like that. Oh, that's beautiful. Got the chills. I want to thank my guest tonight, Matt Eisman. So good to talk to my old pal, the host of American Ninja Warrior. Check out the Twinges, Nathan and Marquez Green from Madison. They will be on Monday night, the 22nd. Watch that after you listen to Nightlight, of course, but they will be in the semifinals, so check that out. Thank you to Terry Bell. Thank you for all your texts and sticking with us here as we compete against the terrific news coverage here at Civic Media. We're spoiled for choice. Conrad, thank you. And Ingrid Andrus, thank you for your patriotism. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba. Good night, Wisconsin.